Now, can I get you to stand to your feet as you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Mm-hmm. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Mm. Verse 6. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Verse 8, a good verse to memorize. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Yeah.
Verse 9, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are, verse 10, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. You may be seated. The title of this morning's message is, But God, by grace.
Yeah.
But God, by grace.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. Now, before I get into the text this morning, I want you to think about, there's moments in your life where you see how God had intervened and changed the course of wherever you were going.
Yeah.
I think about my life and how God put in that, but God, and I didn't even realize he was intervening. Mm. The first example I want to help you realize in your pastor's life is how he met a wonderful wife named Twala White.
All right.
Twala Fobbs. And I didn't know at the time that even though I was picking her to be my bride, how God was using her to be instrumental for Christ to grow in me from that point on and up to this point today. I want you to think about, in every one of our lives, there is a fork in the road, a crossroad, when you made a decision, you made a choice, and how God intervened to help you see how he wanted to get more out of your life and Christ to be seen. Even though when you make that choice, you didn't realize it. All of us have those forks in the road that symbolize but God. If it wasn't for him intervening, your life could have been different. The outcome could have changed. You would have went a different course, but God. God, who is rich in mercy, intervened to open up your choice that he gave you his life. I remember thinking about my wife and when we had many ups and downs in our relationship. And one day she came to me and she said, we need to join the church. And your pastor was about as far from being from the Lord as you can think about. Because what I loved to do on Sunday was rest and watch football. But the Lord used her to say, well, even if you don't pick a church, we're going to join the church. And how the Lord pricked my heart to realize, I know there's a lot of churches out there I wouldn't have, want to have nothing to do with. And I shouldn't even be thinking that way because I wasn't at the right point. But the Lord used her. Said, I'm going to take the children, we're going to go down here, and we're going to go to church. And something happened in my thinking that changed the voice of my, the course of my decisions. Yeah. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
So I decided to go. Little did I know, there's another fork in the road in my life when the Lord called me into the ministry. And I didn't know the Lord was going to be using me in such a way. But see, there's forks in your road that God is constantly showing you that I want you to lean toward this way because I want Christ to get more glory out of your life, even though you don't realize it. So I didn't know the Lord was going to call me into the ministry. I didn't know the Lord was going to call me to preach. Even my wife told me when we got married, I don't want to get married to no preacher. And believe me, I was not living like a preacher, a man of God. Trying to help y'all. But I went to Berea Baptist Church, and the Lord found favor through Pastor Bell after I had joined there to become a deacon. Now, I didn't know nothing about being no deacon. Yeah. But the Lord used him to let me grow to find the stewardship of what a deacon need to be. I'm just giving y'all the background to but God. And that fork in the road in that decision, I accept the calling as a deacon. She accepted the calling as a deaconess. And we start serving at the church. I didn't have to go through the protocol to find the procedure of what was going on in the church. If the grass needed to be cut at the church, your pastor get his lawnmower and go down there and cut it. I didn't wait for no committee. I didn't wait for no organization. If there was a light bulb out at the church, guess what? As a deacon, it was my responsibility when I checked with the pastor. Everything was in place. Little did I know God was using all those little increments to future ministry and stuff I didn't know nothing about. Sooner or later, the pastor came to me and says, I want you to follow me one Sunday, go out here to the prison ministry. So we went out there. He had been doing the prison ministries out there on first and third Sunday. I went out there with him. Little did I know, after that, he said, Reverend White, I'm turning it over to you. This is now your ministry. I said, what? And Pastor Bell was real notorious for calling on me to give messages. That's why I always make sure I'm prepared to give a message wherever I'm at. When, on early morning service, I'd be sitting there thinking about everything else, maybe even something about football. And Pastor Bell said, Reverend White, this morning, Pastor White, you're going to give us a message this morning. See, those little movements and the decisions that God was doing at that time, I didn't know that he was using me. I didn't know he was even involved in the decision. Later on, after I had been there serving at the church, the Lord called me to start a ministry in my home. And believe me, I didn't really want nobody else coming to my house having anything to do with worship. But the Lord picked in my heart. I talked it over with my wife. We started having Bible study in our home. And Sister Holiday was one of them people that came. And I want you to realize, see those little increments of how God was using and intervened. Later on, I saw all these preachers that were on associated at Berea. And I stood out because I didn't hoop. But the Lord used Pastor Jones, my parents' pastor at the time, pulled me back in the office. He said, young man, keep it up. And I'm saying, what? Keep what up? He said, keep up your style because you have a style that reaches others I don't have. Keep doing that. And so the Lord convicted me to keep doing that, even though I felt like a fish out of water. All the other preachers would get up and they'd turn, hit that note, and they'd turn on the surface. People go wild. But the Lord said to me, you need to go to seminary. And so DTS came on the scene. Now, I was working 12 hours in the plant. Little did I know, are y'all listening? That was another fork in the road for me to get sound biblical teaching. Yeah, I could have went to Southwest. Or yes, I could have went to what's the other school Reverend Pound went to? Anyway, the other Bible school over in Dallas. But anyway, the Lord sent all DTS. And I was shocked when they had let me in the graduate program over there. But I see how the hand of God was in the middle of that decision. But God. Trying to teach. I want you to see that the surgery that I just recently had, two of them, back surgery and triple bypass heart surgery. You know who made the difference? But God. I asked Reverend Deacon Brown this morning, do you mind if I use you as an example? Deacon Brown said, go ahead. Deacon Brown was up in Baltimore, Maryland, was in a plant that had just shut down, and the Lord used a vehicle for him to come to Texas. Now, he said he was getting ready to go to where? Iowa?
Delaware.
And he had already put in to Texas, and he changed his mind to go to Delaware. But the Lord saw fit that he come where? To Texas. See how that fork in the road? There's things that God is showing you in your life. If you're sensitive, you'll see how he's but God. He's trying to show you,
Amen.
But God.
Amen.
And you need to realize when God intervened to help you make a decision, it's for the future and for His Son to get glory out of your life.
Uh-huh.
If Deacon Brown had not ever come to Texas, he probably wouldn't be a deacon.
Uh-huh.
And he probably wouldn't be growing and teaching in the church.
Uh-huh.
But we don't even think about that.
Uh-huh.
We want to think about the things that God has allowed us to grow in.
Uh-huh.
Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
All of us are experiencing things but God.
Uh-huh.
And if God hadn't intervened,
yeah.
we wouldn't have discovered His grace.
Amen.
We wouldn't have discovered our personal calling that He has specifically for us.
Uh-huh.
So if you look at the text this morning, it says, but God,
yeah.
being rich in mercy.
Yeah.
See, it's God's mercy. He always intervening in your life. You're not getting what you deserve.
Mm.
Every day of your life, you don't realize how gracious and how merciful God is to you, but you're not getting 100% what you deserve.
Mm.
He's rich in mercy. And I'm telling you, it's way beyond your understanding. Why? Because His great love with which He loved us. Do you know God loves you?
Yeah.
I don't care how bad life gets, you got to remember God loves you. And I don't think the church let it sink in. God wants an intimate relationship with you. And you know who's keeping that from happening? Come on. Don't be the point at somebody else. You are the reason why you're not intimate with God. I believe God tried to visit you every day to see, you want to spend some time with me? You want to hear my voice? You want my comfort? You want my strength? And we get so busy with these world's issues, with our jobs, with our family, we miss it. And guess what? You miss that fork in the road for that day. I think there's a fork in the road or every day that God wants to spend time with you. And it's up to you to make that choice. It's up to you to hear His voice. It's up to you to allow Him to come and have more time with you. Notice what it says in verse 5. Even when you were dead in your trespasses, even when you had a fallen nature and you didn't realize you needed God to intervene in your life. If you saved today, you ought to have a but God moment. Have you been saved today?
Amen.
If you've been saved today, raise your hand up.
Oh, Lord.
And guess what? You ought to have a but God moment. Because
yeah.
God had to intervene for you to even understand you needed to be saved.
Amen.
Because you were on your way to hell, dead in your trespasses, and didn't even realize you need a holy God. Notice what He did in verse 5. He made us alive together with Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but God Himself gave me His divine sinless nature, and it's never going to leave me. And I have the help of the Holy Spirit to always allow Christ to come through me. How? By grace, I have been saved.
Amen.
Have you been saved?
Amen.
Have you been saved?
Amen.
See, when you know you've been saved, you know how to answer God's going to answer your prayer. A man was struggling to find a parking spot. And he said, Lord, he prayed, I can't stand this. If you open a space up for me, I swear, I promise, I'll give up drinking and I'll give up not going to church on Sunday. So suddenly, a cloud parted, the sun shined a specific spot on an empty parking lot on the parking lot. And the man hesitated, looked up to heaven, and said, never mind, Lord, I found one. See how God is intervening at a but God moment, and we walk right past it and don't see the need of Him giving us the course and advice. But God's always intervening. But are you aware that God is intervening? That you discover His grace? Notice what it says in verse 6. And He has raised us up where? With Him. Every day on the planet, you have the divine nature of Christ Jesus want to be seen through you. And you're telling God, not today. I don't want to obey you. I ain't going to read my word. And the only time you're going to get closer to God is you have to get into His word. If you don't get into His word, how are you going to know what He wants you to do? How are you going to let him be raised up through you if you don't know what his word is saying? Mm. Notice what it says in verse 6. That your name is written in heaven. Mm. Seated with us with him where?
In heavenly places.
Where?
In heaven.
In heavenly places. Mm. God placed your name in heaven. Mm. You didn't place your name in heaven. Now let me ask you a question. How many had something to do with the reason why they were born? Mm. Let me see some hands of people that had something to do with the reason why they were born. Mm. Yeah, I bet not see nobody raise their hand. You had nothing to do with it. It was God that caused you to be born physically. Mm. And the same way as God causing you to be born spiritually. Mm. And he placed your name in heaven in Christ Jesus. Mm. And when you don't realize that, you think you are probably running the show. You think you have something to do with it. Look what it says in verse 7. Mm. So that in the ages to come, he might show the what? Mm. The surpassing riches of his grace. Mm. Now, I want to blow your mind. You need to circle all through this chapter how it says his great love, his grace, his surpassing riches. Notice the ownership of who's doing all of it. Mm, it's him. Mm. It's his ownership. It's his possession. Mm. And God's trying to help you see who do you belong to. Mm. So long as you think you own yourself, then you're going to respond the wrong way. Mm. But know that when you know that he is now owns you, it's going to help how you respond. Mm. It's going to help how you obey.
Amen.
In a village finally found, a village blacksmith finally found an apprentice willing to work hard and work the long hours. So the blacksmith instructed the boy, he says, when I take the shoe out of the fire, talking about the horseshoe, I will lay it on the anvil, and when I nod my head, you hit it with this hammer. So the apprentice did just as he was told. And when the blacksmith finally woke up, the apprentice was never allowed near the blacksmith's office again. See, when God gives you instruction, are you listening to the details? What did God say? See, God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament, but now he's speaking through his son. And he's asking, have you heard me? He said in the New Testament, I say unto you. I say unto you. And he's still saying to you today, I say unto you. Have you heard what I'm saying? Have you heard what I'm saying? Look what it says. He says, how? His kindness toward us. Mm-hmm. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. When you realize you do not deserve to go to heaven, that ought to make you want to do more what God wants. And while people don't read their Bible, while people won't do the things that the Bible is telling them to do, telling me they don't understand. They're telling me they haven't heard the Lord. Notice what it says in verse 8. For by grace, are you listening? You have been saved. Have you been saved?
Amen.
Have you been saved?
Amen.
How did you get saved?
By faith.
By faith. It wasn't your idea. It's God opened up your understanding. You need him. It's God opened up your perspective. Realize you need to deal with sin. Anybody that has been born again had to come to the knowledge from the faith that God gave them. You didn't get this on your own.
No.
How do you know that, Pastor? He says, it's not of yourself. You see that?
Yeah.
How did it happen? It's a gift. The Holy Spirit gave you all the understanding and he waited to see what's your response. God is always looking at your response, your decisions, and your actions.
Yeah.
You might want to write that down. God is always looking at your decisions, your actions, and your responses. And your response is telling you, have you seen the fork in the road about but God? I'm always intervening. Have you heard me? Are you listening to me? It ain't got nothing to do with your effort. Verse 9, not a result of works, so that no one will boast.
Yeah.
It's not one human being will ever be in heaven to brag on themselves. If you see a person that's going to be in heaven and he's bragging about how he made it, I guarantee you he's in the wrong place. God says not one person is going to be able to brag about what he did to obtain salvation. Not a result of works, but that no one would boast. So when you see somebody boasting, what are they full of?
Pride.
Pride. God said that's the number one thing he hates. And you know what? God says, I'm always attacking pride in the church. Because a lot of people think that it has something to do with it. And I'm always looking to see if people humble themselves and stop saying it's mine. It's my idea. It's how I want it. No. How does Christ want it done? Is somebody listening?
Amen.
Verse 10. What's the proof? You understand the ownership. See, when you understand the ownership, then you know that who you belong to. For we are what? His workmanship. Put verse 10 up there. For we are whose workmanship?
His.
So you didn't save yourself, did you? No more than you made yourself to be born on that particular day that you came into the world. Who did that? God. But God. The same way God intervened for you to be born spiritually is the same way God intervened for you to be born spiritually. For you are his workmanship. God did not save you to do your thing. He saved you to do his thing. See what it says? His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for what? For what? God saved you to do his work. What is his work? His son's sinless nature. How Jesus would be doing it on the planet. And a lot of people go to church and still got that revelation. If God don't want you to lie, why are you lying? God don't want you to steal, why are you stealing? If God don't want you to be coveting, why are you coveting? Why are you making yourself God and the throne of the action and behavior instead of surrendering unto him? He says right there, created in Christ Jesus for what?
Good works.
What things of Christ is being seen on the planet? Okay. And God says, I'm looking to see, have you heard me? Have you heard me? A doctor was telling a man that was having a heart, was hard of hearing. Y'all have heard me say this before. So I don't run out of humor, so I repeat some of this stuff. That was a simple test that he ran to see how bad the problem was. And so the man told the man, he said, when you get home, get about 40 feet away from your wife, like you normally do, and have a normal conversation, a normal tone. Say something to see if she hears you. And then if not, you get a little closer, about another 30 feet. And if not, she doesn't hear you, then you get another 20 feet. And if not, you get right close to her and see what her response is. So that evening when the man got home, he called out to his wife from the front door. He says, sweetheart, what are we having for dinner? And so, didn't hear a thing. So he got a little bit closer. And he yelled out again in the living room, sweetheart, what are we having for dinner? And then he didn't have any response. So he got into the kitchen. He says, honey, what are we having for dinner? No response. So he moved right behind her and yelled out again, honey, sweetheart, what are we having for dinner? And she turned around, she says, for the fourth time, I'm telling you, we're having chicken. God is speaking to us and we're not hearing. It's not God that has the problem, it's us that's not receiving what he has said. Look what it says in the text. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Before he made anything, even angels, you were part of his plan to do what he wanted. What's the problem? You're not listening to but God. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 24 and 25. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. Because this grace issue is seen by our action. But Jesus, are you listening? On the other hand, because of his continuous, for he continues forever, he holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, if he's able also to save us forever, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Now, is that sunk in yet? The same way God say, but God, he's now saying, but Jesus. Have you listened to him?
Come on.
He's speaking. God is always speaking through his son. Have you heard him? And I'm trying to help you today. God has always gave you all the help that you need from the time you got saved. 2 Corinthians 5:5. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 5:5. But God, by grace. How does he do it? By the Holy Spirit. Now, he who prepares us for this very purpose is who? It's God. Y'all see that? And notice what he says. Who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. God, the day you got saved, gave you the Holy Spirit. Have you come to realize that yet? The day you got saved, you have all of God's help inside of you, in your thinking, in your mind, in your emotion. Why you don't access it? Ephesians 1:13-14. It's all on what you let sink in your thinking. Are you in him? In him you also, after listening to the message of the truth, the gospel of salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with who?
The Holy Spirit
of promise. Now, do you know the Holy Spirit living inside of you?
No.
How many Christians realize all of God's divine sinless nature is coursing through their mind and thinking?
Right.
But they won't let it be first. Verse 14. Who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with the view of the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Now that's a whole lot right there. You tell God, if you understand who you now is owned by listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's full-time job is to not talk about himself, but to talk about who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. He ain't going to talk about how much you need to get, how much you ain't getting. He's going to talk about how Christ can be lived through you. See, that's the problem. See, he said, ask what you will, and it will get answered 100% when you're seeking the things of Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us. Notice where it is? In God. Are you in God? It's God in you. Verse 22. Who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is living inside of you?
Amen.
Have you come to that reality?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit is dwelling on the altar of your mind, will, and emotion.
Yeah.
But he won't say nothing about who he is. He's only trying to open your understanding of the importance of Christ. Are you spending time in God's Word? If you just read your Bible once a week, sad, shame on you. How are you going to know what Satan going to do when he attacks you if you don't have God's Word? Because God said, be ye perfect as he is perfect.
Amen.
A man was talking to another man. He says, you know, my son got a lot of problems. My son got a lot of problems. And so the man says, well, my son is perfect. And so the man said, you got a perfect son? I said, yes, sir, I got a perfect son. My son doesn't drink. He doesn't do drugs. He's not living out of sex, out of marriage, and immoral. He doesn't curse, he doesn't lie, he doesn't steal. And the man that with all the problems with his son says, wow, you have a son that's perfect? You got a son that never did none of those things? How old is he? And the man says, he's 6 months old. You can brag about some things, but if you don't let the Holy Spirit be first, you're going to be doing something you ain't got no business doing. You're going to be thinking something you ain't got no business thinking. God say, but God by grace. See, if you know that God had intervened in the threshold of that choice in your life, did the pastor know that he was going to be preaching someday when I was young? I didn't have a clue. Did the pastor know that he was going to be pastoring a church and even build a building. I had an identical, but God. Are you with me? And all through our marriage and our relationship with the first lady, it was not smooth, but guess who kept intervening and work things out? But God. See the difference? And I challenge you, in your life, look at when there is an intersection of how God changed the course of what you were doing. And if you look hard enough, you're going to see that was a but God moment.
Yeah.
You're going to see that was a but God intervening to change your thinking, to change your mind, to change your understanding. And if it wasn't part for him, you could have made the wrong choice. You could have went the wrong way. You could have even left Christ out in your life. But God. He's always rich in mercy. Why? Because of his great love for us. God loves you more than you can love yourself. And you won't spend time to get to know the God that loves you? That's a slap in his face. See how sad we think? How messed up our thinking is? How much time are you spending with God? You ain't got no time for God? Thank God he don't say that same thing back to you. Because one of these days you're going to drop to your knees and say, Lord, help. And he's going to be there. Even though if you look at the human terms, he ought to let you have it everything. Have you everything? He ought to let you have everything without him. But he doesn't do that. Because you know judgment is coming someday. And you know what judgment is? Judgment is seeing everything that's without God. In the book of Revelation, God's going to pour out his wrath on the planet. Because the planet and the cultures and the society is leaving him out. But guess what? One day, you're going to get a chance to reign and rule with him. Why? But God.
Yeah.
Not because you're worthy. It's because of who he is and what he has done. So now we're going to stop.